zeh hedyot, and the Gemara first thought that what it meant was that hames is zeh hedyot to the exclusion of a Novi, that a Novi shehisis would have a different punishment. The series of Mishnais is giving you Abraham Haniskolin. So the Mesis gets kill only if he's not a Novi. If he's a Novi Asheker, then he's Chayiv Chenek. And a Novi Shehisis, it sounds from the Mishnah that it's also like a Novi Asheker, like the opinion of Rav Shimon, the Novi Shehidiach, a Novi Shehisis is Bechenek. But then the Gemara says it can't be, because you see from the next Mishnah that the Mediach is Chayiv Skila. And the Mediach, according to Rav Shimon, is Bechenek, is not the Skila. The Gemara says, no, maybe the Mishnah means a different thing. Hamesis a hedya means the Mesis is an idiot. That's how Rashi says. Hamesis are tippish. Hamesis are shaita. Why is he a shaita? And we treat him like a nar. We treat him like a cow. Why? The word hedyot comes from the Goyish word idiot. Yeah. In what sense is he like an idiot, like a tippish Rashi, like a shaita, like a tippish? Because if he tried to convince somebody to worship Avodah Zarah, and that somebody was only Eirecho, it's not enough to give an Einish Misa. So you try to entrap him, but he doesn't understand it in front of too many people. So you have two Eidim standing outside, and you tell them to come into a room, and you have lights on the inside, no lights outside, and it's dark, outside so they can look inside. He's such an idiot, he doesn't realize that there may be someone outside listening and looking at him. So that's how Rashi interprets on basis ahead, you know. He acts like a tippish. And also, we treat him like a cow, that we entrap him in order to give him the Yonish Misa. So Rashi has a comment on that Gemara, that you have the two Edim who are hiding outside can look inside and they can see everything that's happening because they have lights on inside and outside it's dark. So Rashi poses the question, what do you have to have lights on inside? What if they just hear? They can't identify who the Mesis is based on the Tviyasena de Kolo. So Rashi says, no, that's the Rashi right before the Mishnah, about 10 lines from the bottom of Samach Zayinim and Aleph, right before the Mishnah, when he says, Heim Rai Moistoy Liara Ner Sheimai, because they have candles lit in the inside room, the Lo Motzi Chazalei, if they can't see him, Lo Motzi Misadi Alei Lechuyubik Tola. They cannot testify that the man is Chayiv Misa, based on their recognizing the voice. Avagav Deshami Kolei, I bet they can hear his voice. And the Gemara says the Chulin, there's such a concept that Tviya Seina de Kolom. So Rashi writes, no, the Motzi Lameima, he can always dray his way out and later, and Taina Lav Havoyano. It wasn't me, it was someone else that has the same voice. So that's the Kasha Drol Achrenim. What do you mean? But that's exactly what a Tviya Seina de Kolom is all about. We assume that you can identify people either by Tviya Seina, what they look like, or by Tviya Seina de Kolom, what they sound like.
So, is he said that maybe they don't know that well.
So you could say that they're not so familiar with him. So what if Ultaki get two people who are his next door neighbors to serve as the Eidim, then maybe it would be good. So you say, no, there's a difference. In order to give Misa, in order to give Malkus, in order to be Mchayv Mam, you have to have Shnei Eidim. So maybe that's the halach of Shnei Eidim that you need, Tviya Seina.
There's
no halacha that requires two Eidim over there. The husband knows that that's his wife. The Gemara says, if a person is blind, or if a person is not blind, but it's nighttime and there's no lights in the room, so how does he know that this is his wife and his mutav ishta? Maybe it's someone else's wife. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's an Isar Arayas. So the Gemara says, thank you very much. The Gemara says that he talks to the woman, and he hears her voice, and he recognizes her voice, either the Summa, or even the one who is not a Summa, but it's Balayla, and he doesn't see, so he relies on the Tviya Seina de Kol. So he tainas that maybe that's only in the area of Isa Behetu, where the Halacha doesn't require two Kosher Eidim. Whenever the Din requires two Kosher Eidim, maybe that's a Din in Hilchos Seder, that you need Dafke Tviya Seina, Tviya Seina de Kol is not good enough. So this is a Machlokes Achrayim, the Ktzois, in Choshim Mishpat, has quotes this Rashi, and he quotes some Achrayim say that the reason why Tviya Seina the Kol is not good over here, because Mistame, the Mesis, is going to be whispering. He doesn't want everybody to hear. So there's no Tviya Seina de Kol from a voice of whispering to a normal voice. Even if the people do recognize his normal voice, but they may not be able to identify him, because of the fact that he's whispering here. He doesn't want everybody to hear. He only wants the the one person in the room to hear. It doesn't want the people outside to hear. But if it would have been Taka Tvi Aseino Shalom Balachash, then it would have been good even for Hagodah Seder to give Misa. And the Tzais disagrees and he gives the other interpretation. He says, no, he thinks that it's a Din Hilcha Seder, the Eidus, you need Taka Tvi Aseino to recognize the person with the facial features. And Tvi Aseino Dikol is only good. The Gemara says, an Isa Vehetam. It's that Gemara Chulin that says Tvi Aseino Dikol is good. It's an Isa Vehetam where the Avoha doesn't require to wait. Machlek Sacharinim, how do you deal with this Rashi? What is Shitas Rashi? Halacha l'maisa. Okay, the next Mishnah starts off with the Din of Meitiach. This is Vaita going back to the long list that we had earlier. The Mishnah listed off all of the people who are Chayv Skila. So the Mishnah is Chazering over Elohein Haniskolin. That was on Nun Gimla Med Aleph. So it said, Amesis, Amidiach, Amachashif. So Amesis, we have a little bit of details. Meitiach, we just list. We're not adding anything too much. Zehoi Medela Tanabar Avex Kuchav. We didn't add anything more. Then it goes, HaMachashev, the Mishnah does that. HaMachashev is only Chayv Misa, if he's Oysa Maisa. If he's not Oysa Maisa, just Eches HaSainayim, so then there's no Oynash Misa. What do you mean, there's no Oynash Misa? Is there an Isa? Eches HaSainayim means that he didn't really accomplish anything. He just fooled the people into believing that he did something, but he really didn't do anything. It's just Achiz HaSainayim. Is there an Isa? So from the Mishnah, you can't really tell. It just says that you're Potter from Misa. The Gemara in Amid Beis quotes Abaye, Omer Abaye, it's about the 10th wide line on Samach Zayin Amid Beis. Omer Abaye, Hilchas Kshofim, Kehilchas Shabbos. The rules and regulations of Kishuv are in a certain sense parallel to Hilchas Shabbos, that there are three categories. Yeshman Biskilo, Chal Shabbos with a Melacha, there I should get Skilo. Yeshman Pater Abalasar, usually Pater Abalasar is a Din de Rabbana. Rashi says, the Olu Shvusim. A pater avalasa. You have a couple of dinim derais also that are pater avalasa. We had before Tchumen Aliba de Rebbe Akiva. We had on the previous daf. Tchumen Aliba de Rebbe Akiva, Havar Aliba de Rebbe Yosi. You have a couple of cases that you pater avalasa. Machamer Achabemto. It's a couple of odds and ends. But Rashi on Samach Zayin Amid Beis writes about the. Hilchas Shabbos is the Rashi. Hilchas Shabbos Melachas Biskilo Shavuos Pater Avalos. Rashi writes that when Abai says Pater Avalos, it means the Dinim Derabbanan. So he says just like in Hilchas Shabbos, there are three categories. V'yesh mehem mutar lachatchila. There's some things that look that are mutar, even though he really did a melacha. Rashi gives you a case. Atzad Tzvi, Atzad Nachash. There are certain cases in the Mishnayos and Masechta Shabbos where the person really did a melacha. But there's a reason why we say that it's mutar. So similarly, in Hilchas Kishuv, we also have three categories. What are the three? Ha'isa Maisa is Taka B'Skila. If he really accomplishes, somehow he, if a person harvests the tvu in the field by using a machine, or by using a sickle or something, so that's mutar, that's not Kishuv. But if he stands over here and he taps his fingers on the table and he accomplishes that all the svarim fall out of the bookcase, or the clock falls off of the wall, and there's no connection over here. It's not that he bangs so heavy that everything falls down. So the Derech HaTeva doesn't make any sense. Somehow he does something over here, and it causes Netiyas Kishuin, or it causes Akiras Kishuin, Lakitas Kishuin. He accomplishes something in another place, Shaloi B'Derech HaTeva, so that's the real McCoy, and that's Mechashev HaLosechai, that's the one that gets Misa. But if he's only... But he's only oiches esayinayim. Oiches the ma'aser b'skil oiches esayinayim is pater avalaser. There is an isa. Shad is what is the isa? And then where do you have a case parallel to Hilchas Shabbos muta lachatchila? So the Gemara's muta lachatchila is like the story that we had already. Rab Chanina, Rab Oshia. Apparently they were poor and they couldn't afford to go to the butcher shop and buy flesh. So every Friday when they wanted to have flesh for Shabbos, so they would learn Sefer Yetzirah and they would succeed in creating an eagle. And they were shechted and needed to cover Shabbosan. So that's not Kishuv at all. That's Bederach HaTeva. If it tells you in Sefer Yetzirah, if we would have access to Sefer Yetzirah, we would know how to do all these things. If you mix the right chemicals, you can get Behemah. Sure. So that's not a violation of Kishuv. Whatever is Bederach HaTeva is mutar. So this is a big question. In the three categories that the Gemara had, the first category is Chayv Skila. All right, that's Mechashev Alos Chayv. That's the Mishnah. Elohim on his colon. The second category, Potar Balasur, means that there's no Chiyuv Misa. It means that it's only Midirabana. Rashi says, Potar Balasur by Shabbos is Shlusim. And here, Potar Balasur means that it's only also Midirabana by the Kishuv. Nah, so the Pashtus says that it's an Isa Deraisa. We had before on the earlier Daf. The Gemara said that there is an Isa Loisa Anenu. This, the prohibition over here, what's the lav over here? The chashev alos dechai is the mocker for the skilo. What's the mocker for the lav? I forgot already. The mocker for the lav from the chashev. But the Gemara said earlier on Samachem Abay, he said there's a different love. Lo se nachshav lo se oneinu. So lo se oneinu goes on Oiches v'sayinai. So the Pashto says that that should constitute an Isa deraisa. In fact, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, when he quotes this, writes that one who does Oiches v'sayinai gets Malkus. But the Gemara says Potar v'loser, it means that there's no Chiyuv Misa. Mitam Mechashev, Mitam Kishuv. But the Chiyuv Malkus there will be, because the Rambam writes like that in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and he writes like that in the Aruch HaZok also, that there will be Malkus deraisa because he violated the law. And the simple reading of the Rambam, both in the Sefer HaMitzvahs as well as in the Aruch HaZok, is that it goes on one who does plain old magic tricks. He just does plain magic. So the Rambam says that that's a law deraisa, that he get Malkus. That's the
Poshup. Someone who goes certain kinds are good for that. The Gemara says that.
I know, yeah. The Gemara had different pshatim there on the earlier daf. On Lo Sa Oneinu. The Gemara gave all the pshatim on Chayve Chever. Right. And one of the pshatim was, here, take a look on the bottom of Samachem Abayis, five lines from the bottom. Six lines from the bottom. Lo Oneinu. So Reb Shimon says that Mavishiv Amini Zohar Al Ha'ayin, some kind of kishuv. V'chachamim Amar No Zeh Ha'eches Esayinayin. Plain magic. Reb Kiv Amar, it goes on Mechashiv Ita Meshores. He says this season is lucky, this season is not lucky. So the Rambam's Tziyun is both on the Vov and the Zayin, and the Rambam quotes both. It is both included in Lo Sa Oneinu. Ha'eches Esayinayin. Lo Sa Oneinu Miloshen Ayin. Lo Sa Oneinu Miloshen Ono. Zman, Ono. So they're both included in the Yisra Deraisa, and Rambam says that you like it. If you did a Maisa, you like it. One will get Malkus for it. There is a problem, there's a steer in the Rambam. In Hilchas Avodah Zarah, when he quotes this in Perek Yud Aleph, so in one halacha he writes, Achesainayim is like it, because he violated Loisaneinu. And then when he quotes this Gemara, that there are three categories, he says, if you're Isa Maisa, here by the letter Aleph. Here it says, this is Perek Yud Aleph and Hilchas Avodah Zarah, halacha Tezvov. So he says, if you oise maise, if you really accomplish, he snaps his finger over here and he causes all the swarm to fall out. We walk to the back and all the swarm fell out. Or he says he's going to snap his fingers and we'll see that he accomplished that trees are growing in front. When we walked in, there was concrete in the front. When we're going to, he snaps his fingers and he causes trees are planted now. We walk out, there really trees there. So that's real kishuf and on that he's chayiv skila. That's the Mishnah. But if he's only yoches esoinayim, he snaps his finger, we look out the window, it looks as if there are trees planted. Then we go outside, we find out that the whole thing was a bluff. We don't know exactly how he did that, but the whole thing was a fake. So then the Rambam quotes that that's Potter Avalosser, Potter Avalosser, and he says in such a case, you don't give Malkus deraisa because it's a lav shenita l'asaras misas bezn, because if he would have done a maisa, if he would have really accomplished that there were trees there, then there would have been an oinish misa. So since there's no Einish Misa, but you can't give Malkus because that Isa is learned out from the same Lav, Avamakanos and Makas Mardus. So that's the Hastira. In the same Perek Yudalf and Nichus Avadizor, in an earlier Halacha, things Halacha Tes, the Rambam quotes the other Gemara on Dav Samachem Abayis, that Loisa Anenu includes both Oiches Es Ha'ayin, Oinenu Miloshen Ayin, and Loisa Anenu Miloshen Oina. They're both included in the Isa there. I see. He says that you like it. If you do plain magic tricks, you like it. And here the Rambam says that there's no Malkus, only Makas Mardis. So the Lech Mishneh is the Astira in the Rambam. So this is the problem, what's the Yishuv on the Astira in the Rambam? Rav Moshe Feinstein has in the last volume of Igros Moshe, he has a long tshuva about this topic. So he quotes the Shach on Yerideya, quotes the Bach on the Tur Yerideya, who says the following teretz. This is very negel halacha. The Bach says that the two Rambams are talking about two different kinds of achizas einayim. When the Rambam says that achizas einayim is a violation of the law of loisa einenu, and he gets Malkus deraisa, that goes on playing magic tricks. And that's what it says kimat explicitly in the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos. So if you just do magic, the kalos habtenuah, just by a flick of the wrist, you're faster than the other person's eye. My wrist is faster than his eye. So the Rambam says, if that's an Issa Deraisa, and you get Malkus. This Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tesvav, where the Rambam says that you don't get Malkus on Achizus Einayim, because it's a Lav Shenitan Lasaris Mises Bezin, because the full Avera is, if he really did the Tiras Kishun, he snaps his fingers and we walk outside, we see there are taka trees planted in front on the concrete. So that's the real, the full Avera. And if he snaps his fingers and we all look out the window, it looks as if he did an Achiza Seinayim. It looks as if he planted trees. But then when we all walk outside, we see that it was only a hoax. There are no trees there. So then that's like a Chatzi Shir. That's like it's in violation of this Iser of Kishuv. But it's not, it doesn't warrant Misa, because in order to have Misa, you have to have Davka Oisa Maisa. You have to do the Kitas Kishuvin on the TS Kishuvin. It has to really correspond to reality. He really changed it. So since he didn't change it, there's no mis, and there won't be malchus either. It's lav shenitan lasaros mises bezin, because the yisur b'shleimuso is with osa maisa. So the maximum we should give him is makas marius. That's how the Bach is quoted by the Shach is saying. So the Shach says, and he likes that answer, and the Shach likes the answer of the Bach. So it comes out that he's paskining halacha lamaisa like this pshat in the Rambam, that the plain old magic is osa. Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva about this. Rambam writes explicitly that Kishuv is all a fake. There's nothing there. So everything is only Achiza Seinai. So he has three different kinds of Achiza Seinai. One of them you get Misa, and one of them, everything is a hoax. So one of them you get Misa, and one of them you get Malkus Derais, and one of them you get Malkus Mardis. So that's a major problem. I still don't know the answer to that. I don't know. But the Shach quotes in the name of the Bach, if you do real Kishuv, he snaps his finger and real, he accomplished that trees are growing there in the front. That's Misa. If he snaps his fingers and he gives us the impression that the trees are growing, then we walk outside, we see that it's a fake. That's going to be a Lav Shenitan Lasaros Mises Bezmei, Loikamol of Malkus Deraisa, but it's going to be Makas Mardis Nidivreya. And if he does plain magic, that'll be an Issa Deraisa. Chacham Avadya Yosef has a tshuva about this in the third volume of this little Sefer Yechavadas. So he quotes this Sefer HaMitzvos LaHaRambam, says it explicitly. And he quotes the Bach, and he quotes the Shach, and that's what it says. Yeah, it's a steer between Halacha Tes and Halacha Tes Vav in Perek Yud Aleph. So he says that's what the Shach quoted the name of the Bach, that magic is also. So he says sometimes they entertain children at Chanukah parties or whatever, or sometimes at Chasenes, L'kavet Simchas Chasen Mekala, or Purim, they have magicians. So he says there's no heter at all. And he quotes at Shulas HaRambam, where the Rambam writes that there's no heter to violate. Well, Yilbash Gevesim Lasisha by a Hasana, sometimes men put on dresses in order to dance by the men, they make shtiks. So he quotes at Shulas HaRambam that it's us. Others hold that that's mutter, others are mekel, and Yilbash Gever, only to go Ben Anoshim, right? That's, the Ramok quotes those Rishonim who are mekel, but he's not the Lahachra on this. He quotes the Sfardish Rishonim who are not the Lahachra. So he says, if you're dealing with an Issa Deraisa of magic, he doesn't see that it should be mutter b'makom mitzvah simchas chasam mekala. If you deal with an Issa Derabanan, so there's what to discuss b'makom mitzvah. And even so, b'makom mitzvah, what's a mitzvah dafke to have this kind of simcha? Have normal simcha where there's no chashash. So that's the thrust of his tshuva. He quotes, there is a Radvaz who says that it cannot be that a magic that should be an Issa Deraisa, how can it be? It doesn't make any sense. But he says, the simple reading of the Rambam is not so, that there is an Issa Deraisa. So Rav Moshe has this tshuva in the last volume of the Igros Moshe, where he quotes the Shach b'shem the Bach. He doesn't quote the Sefer HaMitzvah, where it says it explicitly. He quotes the Shach b'shem the Bach to say the Yishuv on the steer in the two Rambams. When the Rambam says that there's Malkus Deraisa, and when there's only Malkus Mardis with the Rabbanon, and it can't be Malkus Deraisa because it's a Lavshi Nikla Saras Misbez. So then he says, that's the Shtikal Torah that I said in the Shir. And in Tefarem for the Rambam, he thought that the Bach's Yishuv is better than that of the other Achrayim. But he says the other Achrayim hold not so. He says the Ramon and the Marshal give a different teretz on the Rambam. And then somehow in the Tshuva, it was very unclear to me, somehow in the Tshuva he comes about the Maskon Halacha L'Maisa, not like the Bach, not like the Shach. He thinks that whatever is a natural thing, just because my wrist is faster than your eyes, that should be an Issa. So he says, how can it be? When they took Yankel Avinu to Mitzrayim to bury him, and they didn't have the document, the shtar, that the Maris HaMachpelah belonged to Yankel, so they sent Naftali back. Naftali Ayolu Shluchi, he ran back. How can anybody run back so quickly? That was unbelievable, he ran back. So just because he was so fast, so he's not allowed to use his koyach to run so quickly. And Shimshin HaGibor was unbelievably powerful. It looked like magic. So it's also for Shimshin HaGibor to use, because people will think that he's using Kishuv. No, if it's Bederach HaTeva, if a person is born with tremendous koyches, so there's nothing wrong with using it. So Rav Moshe says nothing wrong with using the quickness of your finger to do magic. If you try to nar up the children and tell them that I have extra supernatural powers, that you're not allowed to do. But if you tell them in advance that this is just a trick, I'm just doing faster than you do. And even if you don't say that in advance, he thinks that it's mutter. He writes that it's mutter. The Pharisee Sol HaMishnais also writes like that in this Mishnah. He doesn't go into any details. He just says, no, magic, magic is mutter. That's mutter. It goes on real kishuv. But the Pharisee Sol doesn't deal with the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos, where he says explicitly that it's us. Moshe also doesn't deal. Moshe only deals with the two Rambams in the Mishnah Torah. Aloha Tes and Aloha Tesvav and Perek Yidalef and Luchas Avodah Zarah. Then in one place the Rambam says it's Malkus, one place says Malkus Mardis. He talks about the Yishuv and the Stira. So the Bach gave it Teretz, assuming that magic is also, and he thinks that sounds better in the Rambam, and somehow the Psak Aloha, he passes against that. But he doesn't deal with the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos, who does seem to say explicitly that the magic is us. Shem Betumah. Moshe quotes Rishonim and talk about it. Achrayim talk a lot about that. That Kishuv has to have something about Shem Betuma, has to be black magic. I don't know. So then the Gemara has a discussion. No, Stammer it means that you have to, Bezna has to be experts to know. That's the Gemara at the end of the Perek says, the whole story over here, on Samaches and Ralph, that Rebbe Kiva was a student of Rebbe Lezer and a student of Rebbe Yeshua. He wanted to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. So part of Kol HaTorah Kula was, he asked both of them to teach him all the tricks of Kishuv in order to know who's Chayiv Mis and who's not Chayiv Mis. And the Gemara says on the last line in the Perek, Samaches and Ralph, the last line, it says, well, still mad lasas ata oisa, abalat alomid lahavin alharis. Talachachm wants to know how to paskin, whether it's real kishuf or it's just fake. So he's permitted to learn that in order to be able to paskin whether the guy's chayv misa or not. And then the Bezna has to figure out, based on what the Yevim said, was that real kishuf or was it just a hoax? Yeah, that's what it sounds like. See, the Gemara has a discussion. How did the Tanoim and the Mishnah know? The Mishnah said on Nun Gimel that Mechashev, Amesis Hamidich, the Hamechashev of Ben Sarama, Rabbolo Aim, Chayv, hold this. All these people are Chayv Skila. How do you know? Amesis is a Pasik, Mediach is a Machlokis HaTanoim, whether Mediach is the Skila of a Chenis. And the Mishnah is assuming against Reb Shimon. We pass like the Chachamim against Reb Shimon. Mediach. Avirani Dachas is also the skila Mechashev. Where does it say in the Chumash that Mechashev is skila? It just says Mechashev for Lesachaya. So the Gemara quotes a series of different Tanoim who all say the same thing. Not all the Tanoim agree, but these Tanoim all say the same thing, that Mechashev is the skila. And each one has a different Mokka. So one has a Gzera Shava over here, one has a different Yalfusa. One Tana learns out here, Benazai, on the top of Amid Beis, that's already a Machloikis. If you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, that's called a hekesh. So we assume that there's a shaykhes between the two. If you have two dinim written and two psukim that are adjacent to each other, that's called smuchim. So does smuchim mean anything? In kol ha-tarv kulei chumish dvarim. In Mishnah Torah, the Gemara says in the beginning, in the suki in Yevamis, that everybody agrees that Yidarsh is smuchim. We talk have many famous drushes that are based on smuchim. In chumish dvarim. But in the rest of the four chumashim of Bereshis, through Bamidbar, Tzamachlekes HaTanaim. So this Tana Ben Azai, on the top of Amid Beis, Ben Azai holds, you do Darshan Smuchim. Because there are two psukim and parshas, Mishpatim, and they're next to each other. Mechashefa lo sechayin, and it doesn't say what Oynish Mechashefa gets. And it says, Kol Shech v'mehema mos yumos. And we know from another pasuk that Mishka behema is Biskilo. So Ben Azai Darshan Smuchim, Smocho Inyon Lo, the Torah wrote the one pasuk next to the other to indicate that we treat it like a hekish. Mashechev behema biskila, that's known through a different pasuk. At Machashev is also biskila. Amalei Rav Yudah, so the Tana Rav Yudah disagrees with Ben Azai. He says, Chivnesh Smocho Inyon Lo, just because of smuchim, Notzi Lezeh biskila. What do you mean? I don't hold from smuchim. So this is the Machlokes HaTanaim, where they dash in smuchim in Mishpatim. In the other four Chumashim, the Mishnah and Torah, they all, the Gemara says, even Rav Yudah, who disagrees over here with Ben Azai, Rav Yudah would agree, that's in Yevamos Daf Daled, Rav Yudah would agree, then in Chumash Dvarim, you do Darshan Smuch. That's the top line in the Taisis says, Mehacha Dik, Bereish Yevamos, Rav Yudah lo Darsh Smuch of Yalma. In general, Rav Yudah doesn't know from Smuchim, only in Chumash Dvarim, he Darshan Smuch. Yeah. But the bottom line is that all of these Tanaim that the Gemara quotes here, they all say like our Mishnah. They all hold that that Mechashefa is the skila. Yeah, why does it say Chumash Mechashefa if the din is Echad Rish v'Echad Risho? So the Gemara says because rov of the Kishuf, Bizman HaTanach, was done by women. So that's why the Torah gives a dugma Mechashefa Lozachai. But the din applies equally to men and to women. Here when the Gemara is discussing establishing this din, that the Mechashefa and the Mechashefa is the skila, all of these Tanoim hold the skila. So the Gemara raises a question. The din is that when we entered Eretz Yisrael, days of Yishuv and Nun, so there was a Tzibo Yashem, Loisachai Kol Neshama. They had to wipe out all the Zayin Umas who were living in Eretz Yisrael. So the phrase that the Torah uses is Loisachai Kol Neshama, very similar to the Loshen here. V'chashefa Loisachai. Loisachai, the exact same Loshen. So maybe I should say, here Rabbi Yosef Glidi says, V'chashefa Loisachai is the same as the Loshen Loisachai Kol Neshama. So just like the Zainumis is Bisayef, so to Aviyah, Mechashef is Bisayef. We don't pass like that. We pass like all the other Tanoim. All the Tanoim agree that Mechashef is Biskil, except for this Rabbi Yosef. He says that it's Bisayef. So the Gemara finally answers back, well, let's not learn from Loschai Kol Neshomo, because that's talking about the Zainumis, about the Nochem, about Binanoyach. By Binanoyach, they don't have Arbi Mises Bezen. Skil is Shvei Haragachenik. All they have, as a Russian Zumi says, and whenever a Nochri violates any one of the Zion Sheva Mitzvahs B'Nenoach is Chayv Misa, what form of Misa does he have? He only has Zayif. So that's why Loisachai Kol Neshama by the Zionumis is understood to be Zayif. So the Menhaschina points out that it's a very fascinating Gemara. He says, the Rambam and the other Rishonim never quote this halacha, that when Yishuv B'Nun enter Eretz Yisrael, and they have the mitzvah, Lesachai Kol Neshama, to wipe out all his Ainumas, that they were supposed to do it dafke with Saif. They couldn't use anthrax. They couldn't use a bomb. Dafke with Saif. Stam im ata yochel ha-misa, misa ksiva ba ata yochel ha-misa, b'chol misa shat yochel ha-misa. The Gemara has by all the dalet misas bez, we assume. That if you can't give the misak sivra, give a different einish misa. But even to say lachatchila, that the Zayin Umas was a mitzvah of misas bezin, so to speak, on the Zayin Umas. And it was supposed to be done lachatchila with saif. So he wonders that the Rambam never quoted this. The other Mishnah, they never quoted. So in the Gemara, nobody disagrees. That's the last line on the daf. The Gemara says, how can you learn from of the kuchav, m'shali riba behem ha-kosuv, Ela misa achas, Rashi explains on the top of Amid Beis. Kol misa amur l'benenach en ela saif. There are no skila sreif for herek and chenek. There's only herek. There's only saif. Everything is besaif. And the less the chayiv kol neshama by the zayinum is a din that the chayiv misa. So chayiv misa heis besaif. So Min Haschinach wonders why the Rishonim omitted this gemara. The Gemara seems to be mechaladei, so all the Tanaim agree to that point. That lo zechayim kol neshama means dafke b'sayif. Kishuv is a machlokes ha-Tanoim earlier. It's not from the list of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, but there was one time who said that Sirus in Kishuv in Harkovas Ha'ilon and Harboaz Behemis is also Osir for Bnei Noach, based on a pasuk in the middle of Vayikra. So the Rambam accepts that opinion, halacha l'maisa, and the Shach quoted that also. The Shach in Yerudeya quotes that Rambam, that all of these are Osir for the Bnei Noach.
Yes.
No Misa. Right. The Misa is only on the official Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach and on this not. Right. That was when they started the whole discussion. We once spoke about it. What's wrong with an Esrik HaMurkov? So the first one, the Magen Avraham quotes the Lavush, the first one of Pasal, the Esrik HaMurkov, said it's not good because of Mitzvah Baba Aveir, because when the Bnei Noach do the Harkavas Ilon, if they grift an Esrik with an Ilon Srak or an Esrik with a lemon tree, whatever, so they're in violation of it. Didn't because Bnei Noach HaMuzer al Harkavas Ilonis. So the later Achrayim asked, what are you talking about? That's one Tana in the Sugi Abimis. We don't paskin like that. So the later Achrayim say, we do paskin like that. That the Shach and Yerudei quotes the Rambam that yes, the official Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, which don't include Harkovas Ilonis, that's Negeya to Oynish Sayif. Which Averis do they get Sayif for? But these additional Averis are Harkovas Ilonis and Kishuv and Harboaz Behemah. Are also the Rambam writes that they're also the Eimim Misim Alei. That is not Einish Misim. Actually, called Shame the Tumim Masal. Yeah. It's a question. What it means? It's a question. What it means? I don't think it means Kishu.
No.
It's other things. Here the Gemara has a discussion. Can Kishuv really accomplish to go against the Ratzon Hashem? If the Rebbe Shalom wants a person to die, can a Mechashev accomplish that he should live? If the Rebbe Shalom wants a person to live, can a Mechashev accomplish against the Ratzon Hashem that the person should die? The Pasuk says in Dvarim, Ein Oid Melvadoi. The Rebbe Shalom is the only one who has power in the world. So the Gemara says, "Eino levado amar abchanina." On the first white line, "Afilu l'tavar kshofim," that Kishuv cannot accomplish anything. But the Gemara, right before that, right before the first white line, quoted Rabbi Yochanan, who says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan lamek l'shmon kshofim." What does the lashon Kishuv mean? Shemakishim pamal yishal milo, that the bezer shal milo decided the person should live, and they can do Kishuv, and they can cause him to die. That they can undo. Aide Kishuv, you do have the ability to undo the Ratzon Hashem, to go against the Ratzon Hashem. So the Gemara tells a story that the Rabbi Hanina must have been a good rabbi, so he had some enemies. The Gemara says in the end, if everybody likes the rabbi, he's probably not doing a good job. So if he gives Musa, so then he's going to have some enemies. So he had a woman who wanted to curse him. She had it in for him. So she was trying to get some dirt from the ground where he was walking, where he was sitting, and she wanted to succeed in cursing him with the koyach of kishuv by getting this offer. Yeah, hahitza. That's on the first white line. The second one, hahitza. Once upon a time, there was a woman, tahavas kamahadra. She was going out of her way, lemishkal afro mitaisi kari derab chanina. She wanted to get some of the dust from under his feet to punish him. Aide kishuv. So he said, lady, take all the dust you want. You can make all the kishuv. I give you permission to use all the kishuv you want, but go on ishtelfen, ein oit malvadoi. The Baruch Shalom has the full power in the world, and you can't do anything to me. If I don't deserve to be nizot, nothing will happen. Frank the Gemara, how was he so sure of himself, Rabbi Hanina? He wasn't afraid of Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan says, lami nikoshmon kishuv, shemakishin pamal yishon maila. They do have kishuv, does have the power to undo Ratzon Hashem. Maybe the Ratzon Hashem is Rabbi Hanina should live. But if the woman really knows her tricks, if she really knows the kishuv, she can cause him to die. And for the Gemara, Shani Rab Chanina, the Nafish Zachvase, he had a lot of schusim. He was a marbit stories, a tzaddik, so he wasn't afraid. But the principle, there is what to be afraid, because we assume that Rabbi Yechanan is right, that with the Kerech HaKishuv, people can undo the Ratzon Hashem. Don't know exactly what this means. It's a problem. Okay. Pardon me? Yeah, normally you're not allowed to do it. That he was sure of himself that he had so many schlusim in contrast to this woman who was a garnish min garnish. So he wanted to emphasize that he has bitachon in the Ribbono Shel Olam. He knew that he would be secure. He didn't feel that he was doing anything risky over here. If he would have been concerned about the risk, he would never have done it in the first place. But he was sure that the Akishuv wouldn't work. Similar. Kaddish Baruch Hu will take care of the tzaddikim's needs in all directions, to watch over them and to listen to their recommendations. Yeah. There is such a medrash in the Alkut Shemani. It says, "V'zos ha'bracha she'berach Moshe Ishu Elokim." So the medrash says, "Ishu Elokim." He was the husband of the Shechina. The Shechina was the wife. Moshe Rabbeinu was the husband. It's in the Alkut Shemani. It's not a chassidish word. And he's a ishik shera kol she'osu ritzayim baila. So that's why when Moshe Rabbeinu gets that bracha, it's going to be chal, because tzadik goes to Hakadosh Baruch Hu mikayim. Because the Baruch Hu was like the wife of the Shechina is like the wife of the tzadik. The tzaddik is the Isha Elikim, it's like the husband. That's what it says in the Alkut Shemani. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Gemara makes mention over here of the Pasuk in Shmos, where it says Shmos Perikhes. Why did they decide on this occasion that it's Ezba Elikim Hi? The first couple of Makas, they didn't think so. So the Gemara says, by Kinnin. Why do they think that Kinnin must be Ezba Elokim? Because Ein Hashed Yochel Liber is Bria Pachas Mikasar. The Gemara says, Yochel Liber is Bria, that's a joke. No, it has no Shlit in me. He can't create any Bria. But he has no Shlit at all on Pachas Mikasar. That's what the Gemara says. So the Kinnin was so tiny, it was smaller than the size of a barley grain, and so is a barley grain. So it cannot be that this is based on Kishuv. So now they had to admit, Ezba Elokim he must be. So the Maharal Prague has an interesting comment in his Gurariyeh. His commentary on Pirush Rashi Al Torah, he says that there is a din that an etzem kisoira is metameh a bone from a dead body. So a dead body, adam is metameh b'makom b'maso b'ohel. But if it's only an etzba kisoira, if you have a kazayis b'osam and ames metameh b'makom b'maso b'ohel, or if you have rov shedro v'gogoles, shedro v'gogoles is also metameh all three makom b'maso b'ohel. But if you just have a bone, which is not the Shedra of the Golgolas, even if the bone is only the size of a Seorah, so it's only Metame B'maga B'masa, it's not Metame B'ohel. But if it's less than a Seorah, it's so tiny, less than the size of a barley grain, not in Metame B'maga B'masa either. So he says, why is it that there's no Tum at all on less than a Seorah? Because he thinks that it has a connection with this Gemara. Because less than a Seorah, the Shedim have no Shlita on that. So Tum has something to do with Shedim. He doesn't explain it. He just sees a relationship between these two comments that the Gemara has. Then the Gemara has halacha l'maaseh. The Gemara tells a story. One occasion, Ze'iri visited Alexandria in Egypt, and he purchased a donkey, Zavan Chamra. He bought a donkey. The donkey was thirsty. He was riding on a donkey. Therefore, he was thirsty. He took it to the river. The donkey leaned over in order to drink some water. So the whole donkey disappeared, and it turned into a board of wood. Gamla duskenisa. Rashi says Gamla is not a camel. Gamla duskenisa means a bar of wood that they would put on a bridge or something like that, or on a railroad or something like that. So he went back to the merchant and he said, "I want my money back." So mekach toes. I told you, I gave you $150 to buy a donkey. And he gave me a piece of wood. So he tells him, if not for the fact that you're such a holy tzaddik and you're Ze'iri, you love the Ziriyat, Lahavi Mahadrin Aloch, I wouldn't give it back. Vika Dizalta Midi Hocha, who buys anything in Alexandria of Egypt, which is a city that's full of Machashrim, but Labodik Layamaya. Whenever you, this is an interesting din in Hilchas Mekach Toys. Let's say you go to the store and you buy a sefer. You could have easily opened up the sefer to see what's doing. There was such a story in Eretz Yisrael. One of the secular newspapers, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I think Ma'ariv or something, one of the secular newspapers was advertising that they'll sell you a shas for $5. So a lot of the people are not observing. Shas, why not? They'll have it in their bookcase. So everybody bought the Shas and they had it in their bookcase. Nobody looked at it. So one person looked at it. Lo and behold, I had a Shas that had Gemara Rashi and Tosis. Didn't have the Bach, the Ayin Mishpat, didn't have anything on the side. The Masoros HaShas. Just had the Gemara Rashi and Tosis. So someone went and he went back, he gave back the Shas and he said he wants his $5 back. So that was the Shaila Mekechtor. So the Shas, what if I walk into a store and they have the Shas there? Here. This was done by ordering. You send in a check for $5 and they send you a package. You didn't see it in advance. What if you walk into the store and you take the safe and you can easily open up and look at it? You didn't even bother to look at it. Or let's say you buy an automobile. You didn't even bother to try it out to see if it works or not. So the Gemara says that that's not a Mekach Tos. If you could have easily tested it to see whether it has this major mum and you didn't even bother, so that's called Sova Vikibu. So it means that you indicated that you ask him to buy it. Even if it has the mum, he was such a holy tzaddik. Ziri was such a holy tzaddik. He lived in Olam Salyanim. He didn't realize that in Alexandria everybody's into kishuv, and there's such a thing as a donkey. There's such a thing as a donkey that's a board of wood. It didn't even occur to him. He didn't live in this world. But if he would have been a flame balabas who was with it, he would know that anything could be anything else, and he would know. He'd take it to the river to test it out before he buy it. Then by another balabas, it would not have been a mekach tos. But because Ziri didn't occur to him, so that's why by him it wasn't a mekach tos. The Sachi Gemara in the first parak in Kedushin also, the Gemara talks about the Gemara says if a man is mekadosh an isha, let's say a kohen is mekadosh an isha, so the eishes kohen arusa, Yisraelus arusa l'kohen is permitted menatar tichruma. But when the Rabbanan, the Gemara says, the Choshesh, Shum Simpon, maybe it'll turn out that it's Kiddushi Tois. Maybe he'll find out that the girl has a mum, and it'll come out that it's Kiddushi Tois. So the Gemara says, and what about if a Koyan buys an Ebet K'naini? So the din is an Ebet K'naini, the Koyan is Echol B'Tshuma. Maybe it'll also turn out that there's a mum. So let's say I buy an Ebet K'naini, I take him home with me in the car. So I start giving him Tshuma right away. How can I give him Tshuma right away? If he's Tahar, how can I give him Tshuma right away? Maybe you have to wait for a month or two to make sure that you don't have any mumim over there. So the Gemara says, what kind of mumim? If a guy marries a girl, so it may turn out that there are mumim on her body that are relevant to him. A guy buys an Ebet K'naini. The Ebet K'naini is going to do work in the house, going to wash the floors, he's going to wash the laundry. What's the difference if he has a mum? What does it bother the Baal HaBos? Whatever he can see, he can see. Aye, those kind of mumim, there may be some mumim that will bother him. So the Gemara says, he should have tested it out in advance. If he doesn't test it out, he could have easily tested it. If he doesn't bother to test it, so it's Sova Vikibul, so he won't be able to back out later on based on the mum. It won't be declared as a Mekach Tos, because the fact that he didn't try to test it out is Sova Vikibul. So he accepted it, even though it turns out that it is a mum. To go check everything out, I mean, there may be hidden mumim. I don't think you're mechuyev to spend money, but if it's an easy test, like over here, you can easily take it to the wood. Everybody knows. Layman would know. Ziri was not Olam HaSol Yoni. But a layman would know. You take it to the water to test it out in advance. And you should have known that in this city there's so many, in Alexandria, Shal Mitzrayim, there's so many who are into Kishuv. So a layman would have known that without investing any money, you should have tested it out.
Maybe also that's why most of the Saraswakis took place while water short of a Kishuv.
That it wasn't Kishuv.
Yeah, people are Kishuv. One is
the one that the young stole, and the other one. Mm-hmm.
Also, the same thing.
That the kishuv could always be undone by
the mother. Show
that it's nothing to do with kishuv. Could be. That I don't know. The imam is nothing.
Anyway, I mean, here, the Gemara says it wasn't a chamor, it was a piece of wood.
Yeah. Same thing? I don't know about that. Yeah, it would have remained a chamor. Would have remained a hamor if not for the fact that he took it to the river.
So the more question is caveat afterwards.
That what?
Caveat afterwards.
If it's an easy test. If he knows if he knows that it's possible to have a major mum, it's easy to test it without investing too much effort and energy.
He's already, but you can't claim
that it's a mekach tos if you could have easily been boyikit and invest. You didn't bother to. Then the Gemara on the bottom has the famous comment that Rabbi Akiva once made, a comment that Amili Dagarata, Rabbi Loza ben Azariah, the second line from the bottom, Loza ben Azariah says, Rabbi, why don't you stick to halacha? Go back to Negoim Vaholos. He didn't agree with Rabbi Akiva's comment, Amili Dagarata, you're stronger in Negoim Vaholos, that's your field. So this is a discussion in the Medrash. What exactly was the comment over here? Tal Hatzvardeya. It says that there was only one Tzvardeya. There was only one Tzvardeya. But it says the whole Eretz Mitzrayim is full of Tzvardeim in the plural. How come it says Vatal HaTzvardeya? So the different Meforshim, Vatal HaTzvardeya, the word means many Tzvardeim. Maybe Tzvardeya means many Tzvardeim. Maybe there was one in Hishvitza, Moloch al Eretz Mitzrayim. And then there's another pshat that the Medrash has. There was one Tzvardeya, and it was screaming, so they started to hit the Tzvardeya. I think Rashi and Chumash quotes it. They started to hit the Tzvardeya in order to kill it. And then he shrieks every time they hit the Tzvardeya, so it shot out more blood. So they kept on hitting and thinking they're going to succeed in killing the Tzvardeya. So it kept on shooting out more. So that's a famous medrash that some Gedolim pointed out when the Rabbanim were fighting the Haskalah movement. So a lot of them put so much in fighting the reform movements, so some of their Rabbanim put so much effort. Rabbi Leizer ben Hurkavis used to raise a chayin with the other Tanoim, used to disagree with the other. It's interesting, the Yerushalmi says, why is he called Rabbi Leizer HaGadol? Because of his humility. So Yerushalmi says that they gave Rav Leizer ben Hurkanis the nickname Rav Leizer HaGadol because he was so humble. And nonetheless, the humility that he had didn't contradict his steadfastness. He kept on insisting on his shittas. When people would ask him a shaila, he would say, I hold like this, the halacha is like this, and he knew that he was outvoted by the others. And he kept on saying, after chushel minyan eichem, the Gemara in the first paragraph in Chagiga quotes at the Sefta, the way in the later years, after they put him in the later years, they told him that they had a vote, and he says, hey, you forget about your votes, that was always the din, we don't need your votes. He kept on insisting that he's right. And that wasn't a contradiction to his humility. He was humble and he was insistent that his traditions and his shittas. So the Gemara says he kept on rising the chaim with the other Tanoim, so they had no braver. So the Gemara says they finally, berchu, they blessed him. Was haloshet berchu. So Rashi, there's a Gemara in the first parak in the Nida, and that's Zion and Beis, where the Gemara says, we merely paskin like Rav Leizer because Rav Leizer Shamutehu. So Rashi writes, Rav Leizer Shamuteh, they put him in Shamto. They put him in Cher. When the Gemara says in Parak Hazor, Berchu means Kilalu, they cursed him, and that's where the Shamto is. A Shamto, the Gemara says in Moed Katan, Shamto is Sham Miso. Cherim is a curse that's nichnas into the Ramach Ibor. That's what the Gemara says. Cherim is osius Ramach. That it's a curse that the person should drop dead. And when they're matir a cherim, it's like a tchias hameisim, it's yoytzei from the Ramach Ibor. But rog is rachim tizka, rachim. The Gemara says that. Cherim is a curse that should be chal on all the Ramach Ibor. When you matir a cherim, it's like a tchias hameisim, but rog is rachim tizka, to undo, to make a tchias hameisim on the person. So Rashi learns, virchu, Kilalu, they cursed him with the cherem. They put him in cherem. And Tais is there, and that's what it means. Rav Leizer Shamutehu, we rarely, but the Gemara there in Nida gives you a list of all the four cases where we pass like Rav Leizer. We rarely accept his opinion because he was always the minority opinion, and that's why they put him in cherem. Tais says, Chas v'shalom, they never put him in cherem. The Gemara doesn't say they put him in cherem. The Gemara says, Berchu. That's what Berchu means. Like Birchas Hashem. Birchas Hashem means the Farfakir, Kilas Hashem. The Berchu means the Pashib Shat and the Bilchem. So Taisi says they're Chasu Shom, they didn't put him in Cherem. They were just acting as if they had put him in Cherem. So that's the problem over here in this Brisa. Here it says, after they, whatever they did it with Rav Leizer, they all stayed away. for a few years. And then the Gemara tells the story in Perek HaZov. The one who put him in Cherem was his own brother-in-law, Rabbi Gamliel, I think. The chief rabbi, Rabbi Gamliel, put him in Cherem. So Mrs. Leiza, was the sister of Rabbi Gamliel. So she was afraid that her husband, Rabbi Leiza, is going to pray to the Rebbe Shalom, is going to daven Shemoneh Esrei, that the Rebbe Shalom should punish the chief rabbi, her brother, for putting her husband in Cherem. So every day, the Gemara says in Perek HaZov, he never went to shul, didn't go to Beis Medrash. She davened at home all the time after they put him in Cherem. But whatever it means, they were marchik, so he stayed home. So the Gemara says that every day she used to walk in and be mafsik him in between the Shemoneh Esrei and the Tachnun, because the prayers stand the better chance of being answered if you offer Tachnun, if you say Tachnun right after Shemoneh Esrei, but li hafsaka, without talking. So every day she would be mafsik her husband, that his prayer should not be answered. And then one day she thought that it was Rosh Chodesh, and it really wasn't. It was Erev Rosh Chodesh. She made a mistake. So she knows Rosh Chodesh, you don't say Tachnun. So that day it wasn't Rosh Chodesh, and somehow Rav Leizer knew that it wasn't Rosh Chodesh, he said Tachnun. So that day was the funeral of his brother-in-law. That's when her brother died, because his prayers were answered. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You're not supposed to be mafsik between Shemoneh Esrei and Tachnun. You stand a better chance of your tefillahs being answered. So the Gemara says over here, Kishachol Rav Leizer, when he was holding by Nile, so all the Tanoim came to visit him all of a sudden. But they sat berichuk dal ramas, because they treated him like a menuda. So he says, oh, Shalom Aleichem, haven't seen you in a long time. How come nobody came to visit? What you come for? So they say they came to talk and learning. So he said, haven't seen you in quite a while. What happened to everybody who came to talk and learning? He said, well, they didn't have a chance. Lama basim zagin zay lil maturban. Adachshav lama la basim. Lahayilana tonight. The last 5 years they were busy. They didn't have a chance. Strange. So he said he's upset. He's upset. But part of the story is that it says he was wearing tefillin and he died on an Erev Shabbos. The whole story. The story begins. Shechol Rav Leizer, they came. Osayom Erev Shabbos, the fourth line from the top. It was a Friday afternoon, and his son, Hurkinus, his name was Rav Leizer ben Hurkinus. He named the son after the Zeta Hurkinus. Son came in to take off the tefillin before Shabbos. You're not supposed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. So he started screaming at the son, and he chased him out. So the son thought that he was off his mind. Son thought that he was holding by the end. He was mature. So he said, I'm not crazy. Tell your mother to go ben shlicht. What are you hacking me about taking off my tefillin? So then they saw he was very clear. He knew what he was talking about. So then they started this whole conversation. So you see that he was wearing tefillin. So Taisus there in Nidla raises the question. The Imam Ma'id Katan has a suffix by the Menuda, Mahu betefillin. Mora says that one who is in Nidui, Cherem, Ashamto, Nidui and Cherem are two different levels. Nidui is the lower level of a curse, and Cherem is a stronger level of a curse. Shamto is a Machlek Zavishan, but the three different levels are two levels. Some Shana hold Shamto is the same thing as Cherem. Shamto is Aramaic, and Cherem is Hebrew. And others hold no, Shamto is Aramaic, but the three different levels of a Nidui. You know, Atzad Hashem Shabam is that it's a curse that the person should die because of some aveira that he did, because of something that he did that was improper. And if and when he dies, we attribute his death to the curse that the Chachamim gave him, even though he doesn't die that soon. And the Gemara says, Mishimeis b'niduya bezen soplem esarona, that's the Mishnah in Hadeus, if he dies in the state of nidui, if there were matter the nidui, then he dies later, so he's like anybody else, he dies. But if he dies under the nidui, under the curse of the nidui, Bezdin Soklim Es Harono. What do you mean Soklim Es Harono? So it says, does mean that you leave a gal shal, gal avarim ki gal shal ochan. Does mean you leave a whole pile of stones, like when they killed Ochan, when he was punished in Sefer Yeshua. What it means, Bezdin Minichim Eben al Aroinoi, to demonstrate, the Rishonim explained, to demonstrate that he really deserved an Oinish like Skilo. And the curse that the Bezdin gave took effect, and he died because of the person in Bezin, curse of the Bezin. And we treat him like Haruke Bezin. That it says in Shulchan Aruch, in the Mishnah, that the Kroivim do not observe Avelis. The Mishnah said earlier in the previous parak in Nigmar Din, that when Bezin gives one of the Arvim Yisrael Bezin, so the Kroivim do not observe Avelis, because the Pasuk says, Bavod Rishon Rina. So here also, the Rishon in the Mordechai quotes this, and the Yerudei quotes it from the Mordechai, that Mishnah is Binidui Bezin, Sokum Masarona, to demonstrate that he really deserves Skilo. So the Kroivim are not permitted to observe Avelis. But he himself does observe Avelis on himself while he's alive. After they put him in Nidui, so the laws of the Nidui, the laws of the Menudah, are laws of Avelis on himself. he's not permitted to bathe. Sicha, the Gemara has detailed discussions in the third paragraph in Moitot, Ne'el Magalchen. To what extent does it have the same dinim? Does the Menuda have the same dinim as the Ovo? To what extent is it different from the Ovo? So this is one of the shailas that the Gemara has. Ovo Yom Rishon is also Vaniach Tvilin. What about the Menuda and Ma'u B'Tvilin? They say he's also not allowed to wear Tvilin. The whole time that he's in the Nidui, until the Amata the Nidui, I'd say no, that the Menuda is Muta B'Tvilin. So the Gemara is in Ibai Delev Shito. Ibai Delev Shito, so how is he supposed to paskin? So there's a shaila whether the whole din of nidui is deraisa derabbanan. That's a machlokes in Rishon where the hilchas nidui are deraisa derabbanan. Let's assume that nidui is deraisa. That's a mutal b'machlokes the Ramban. There's a whole mishpat acher in the whole country is the Ramban achumish at the end of chumish vayikra at the end of bechukais. I think kolchein Rashi Yochem erod m'lo yipad. The most yumas and that pasuk towards the end of bechukais. He thinks that the whole din of nidui in cherem is really a din deraisa. And the nihug of the Niu Gavelis is also an Indian deraisa. So if you have a Sufik, whether the Menuda Mawi Tvilin, so I should say Sufik deraisa Lechumra. So which way does that lead you to believe Sufik deraisa Lechumra means what? That he does not wear the Tvilin, he does wear the Tvilin. It's a Sufik deraisa, maybe he has to wear Tvilin. Sufik deraisa, maybe he's not allowed to wear Tvilin. So that's Vaita Shaila. That's Vaita Shaila. Which, if you should assume, if you hold the whole din of Nidu is on him with the Rabbana, Tosis holds that Nidu is on him with the Rabbana. So if you all need is on the Rabbanan, so it's a suffix, and tefillin is their eyes, and need is a shayla, if there's a nisa of the Rabbanan, to wear tefillin. So it's an ibaid leif shita, where the menuda the mouth tefillin. So the psak should be that you do wear tefillin. But the shayla is according to the other Rishon, we hold that the nihugim of the menuda are really their eyes. He's observing avelus on himself, even though he didn't die yet, because they already made him into a gabrik tila. The menuda is considered a gabrik tila. The other kroivim don't sit shiva, because he deserved the punishment. It's like harugin bezmi. They don't observe Shiva now, they don't observe Shiva when he dies. But he should observe Shiva for himself. That's part of the Nihugim of the Menuda. So the Gemara has the Safik, does he wear Tefillin?
All the time.
Yeah. All the time that is a Nidui, does he wear Tefillin or not? That's the Gemara Safik. By the Oval, it's only Oval Yom Rishon. By the Menuda, it's a Safik the whole time. So there's a steer in Shulchan Aruch, had a Tazman. The steer in Hilchas Tefillin, and Yeridaya, in Hilchas Tefillin says one way, I forgot which way, and Yeridei Hilchas Nidui, it says the other way, so the Mefarshim talk about the steer. So that's a Sufik for Namaroi, Menuda Ma'avit Tefillin. So Tosis in the first parak in Nida, is the Kasham Dav Zayin, where the Gemara says that Rav Leza Shamute, he said, we rarely pass like Rav Leza. So Rashi says Shamute means Shamto, that they put him in Cherem. And Tosis says, Chasu Shalom, they never put him in Cherem. It just says, Berchu. It doesn't say that they really put him in Berchu, they were merachikim. It doesn't mean they put him in Chirim. But then there's a little Tosis Hishonim on that daf, where Tosis says, Rashi seems to be correct, because the Gemara says there in Bava Metzia and Hazav, when Berchu, so he took off his shoes. What did he take off his shoes for? He was noig nidu biatzma. He was noig that, as if it was a menuda. So how come the Gemara has it, the Amoraim had a suffix in Elu Megalchen, where the menuda mal betfilin? Here the Brisa tells a story. He was wearing tefillin and Zerah Shabbos. They told him the sun came to take off the tefillin to cover Shabbos. Why wasn't the Gemara poishit? Why didn't the Amorai poishit for this Brisa that it says beferish that the Menuda is muta betfillin? Like by Kasha, doesn't it seem to indicate? And you can't say that he wasn't chosh for the nidui. Right? The Gemara says in Azam he took off his shoes. He was chosh for the nidui. He held it. Did have a right to put him in nidui. So why did he wear tefillin? Says the Harai that the Menuda wears tefillin. So Taisa Tepes can't krich harais from them. They don't know how to deal with this. But here the Gemara says, that's the Shana. Maybe it wasn't really a Menuda. Maybe it wasn't really a Menuda. Here the Gemara says that they started talking and learning. Later on, they talked and learning, and they kept on insisting that he's right. On the white lines, and they asked him again, and he said, Tahor. And then it says, Yotel Shmasa Bitara. The last words that he uttered were Tahor. He was paskining again. The shita that they put him in Cherem on, he stuck to his opinion. He still says Tahor. Even after suffering for so many years, he still says Tahor. Like Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zechon Levrach, was a holy tzaddik. So they harassed him. They harassed him practically to death over his psak on the artificial insemination. And then later years, he had a more tshuvas on artificial insemination. He put it in again in the later Igus Moshe. So the children asked him, his grandchildren asked him, are you sure you want to print that? Hey man, you're going to get Saris. So he was thinking maybe he should leave it out. He didn't understand. They said, oh, he didn't understand what they were asking. He should leave it out because they're going to harass him to death again. He thought maybe he should leave it out because it'll be a mekach toys, that people are going to buy Nigiris Moshe thinking that it's holy tshuvas that they like, and then they're going to find a tshuva about the artificial insemination that they won't like. It'd be a mekach toys, he was afraid. So he said, well, maybe we'll print that tshuva first. He said, because my people buy a sefer. He thought usually they look at the first page. So I said, no, we meant to leave it out in Gansen, not to put it for a taste. Until they finally explained to him what the movie. He says, no, Chazur Shom, he's going to put in his chuvas, he sticks to his Gansen. That's how legs. This is what they put him on Cherem for this Shita. He keeps on insisting till the moment that he died. He says, Tahar. He keeps on insisting that he's right. He disagrees with the other Tanaim. And that was the last thing that he said. Yotun Ishmasa B'Tahara. The last thing that he said was Tahar. Then the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Shua Raglov, so Rabbi Shua, after this conversation that they had, when Blazer was holding by the end, he gets up and he says, Hutar Haneder, Hutar Haneder. What does that mean, Hutar Haneder?
The Cherem is off.
The Cherem is off, meaning the din should have been Misha Meis Binidui Bezin Sokom Masarono. So Rabbi Blazer was in Nidui, he said the din should have been Sokom Masarono. So they should have put a slab of stone on his Aron to demonstrate that he deserved to die like a Mrs. Bezdin. And the Karevim should not sit Shiva, his wife should not sit Shiva, and the children should not sit Shiva. So they did, he said, Hutar Haneder, they matter the Neder. So the Ran, the Chidush Ran over here, has a Machlekes HaRishonim. Can you derive from this Bryce in the Gemara that that's Taka the Din? Bezin put somebody in Nidui, and then the fellow dies. It means that the Nidui get boiled. The Nidui is a curse that the man should drop dead. Nidui is Nichnas into Ramahirah. The Nidui get boiled. And then we're matter the Nidui after he died. Ataras Achere means Trios HaMesim. We undo the curse, and he should not die because of curse. Here we cursed him, and he died. So, you undo the curse, and you should bring him back to life. He didn't succeed in bringing Rav Blazer back to life. Shangishtam. So what good is Hutran there? So some Rishonim say, we don't understand it, but here is a right that you can be Mata the Nidui even after the person died. And other Rishonim insist, no, Machlek is a Rishonim. Others say, how can you be Mata the Nidui after you died? Mishameis Beniduya. No. But here, there never was a nidui. It says berchu. So what it mean? And what does it say? Hutar aneder. You should have said hutar anidui. What kind of lashon? Hutar aneder wasn't a neder. So that's why the Radal. The Radal lived 150 years ago. So he was the one who published the Pirkei de Rav Blazer. So that Rav Blazer Ben Hurkanis was his hero. He put out an edition of the Pirkei de Rav Blazer. It was all about Rav Blazer Ben Hurkanis with all of his comments on the side of the Haaretz. He has a long hakdama there. So he loves Rav Blazer, so he says that Tosis is right, that they never put him in Nidui. And it says Berchu, it just means, and it says Hutar Aneda means that they took a Neda to treat him as if he's in Cherub. That's why they sat the Alamas away, that's why he took off his shoes, but the whole thing was all make-believe. It was just a Neda to treat him Ki'ilu, he was Becherub. So that's why Shayech, that's what those who shun hold, that's why Shach to be Mata, Hutar Haneder, they didn't say Hutar Anidui. These who shun hold, there's no such thing. You can't be matter in Nidui after the Nidui accomplished. Nidui is a curse that he should die. And he died. So how can you undo? He's dead already. No. If the guy was really the Nidui, you can't undo it. But he was only a neder. We should all act as if we put him in Cherem. So they said the act is up. Put her on neder. We don't have to continue with the spiel anymore. The spiel is up. So that's why he took off his shoes. Also going along with the spiel. The neder, everyone should treat him as if he's Nidui. But Atzgedekach, not to wear tefillin. No, he's not really benidui. So the act doesn't apply to that. So that's how he faremfe, that's how the Radal faremfe is Tesis Kash. How can the Gemara, how can the Amoraim have an Ivaidlev Shita and Elam Galchen, whether they're a Menuda, Maubit tefillin? The Brisa says a story that he, Rav Blazer, what tefillin? So he says the answer is like Tesis, that they never really put a Shamto on Rav Blazer. It's just a neder to make believe, to act Ki'ilu. And he also went along with the act. He wouldn't sit, he wouldn't wear his shoes. And they wouldn't sit tocht al rams and so on. But ad kedei kach, to take a net and not to wear tefillin, that doesn't make any sense. And the tefillin, it certainly didn't affect. The Shaila, the Ran has this machlekes on this gemara. Hutar aneder, is this true by every case of Misha Meis Biniduya, that the Bezin has the bravery to be martyred in Nidui after he died? And the dinim should no longer be noig mikaral habor? Or not. Machlokes. Then the Gemara says he died on Erev Shabbos. On that occasion, he died. And then on Matzoi Shabbos, Pogba Rabbi Akiva. Akiva expressed his grief over the passing of Rav Lezer by Makeh b'Psorat Shadom shows his lords. He scratched into his arms until he was bleeding to express his the sadness over the death. So Tosfos asked the Kasha, it's the Chanisa Deraisa, the last time. The Sarad La Nefesh La Sitlam B'Psarchem. So Tosfos says, Rabbi Akiva never did it for a relative who died. He only did it over here because of Kavod HaTorah. The only time the Torah prohibits is when a human being dies to express grief over the death of a person. But here he wasn't crying over the death of the person of Rabbi Lezer. He was crying over the loss of Torah. That this Rabbi Lezer had so much Torah, and that's what Rabbi Lezer said. I had so much Torah and I wasn't able to give over to transmit the Mashahu to my Talmidim. All the Talmidim ran away. Everybody left him and he didn't succeed in transmitting any. That's this famous story of Rabbi Lezer, the last days of Rabbi Lezer. The next parak, Ben Sora Meirah, deals with the skilo. The Mishnah has on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph that Ben Sora Meirah is also chayv skilo. So the Mishnah is going to give the details of Ben Sora Meirah. So the Mishnah says, a cotton, the Ben Sora Meirah doesn't really deserve an onish misa for the avera that he did. He gave him skilo. He really deserves skilo. He stole a couple of dollars from his father, from his parents, and he bought the meat and wine and he ate with a bunch of gangsters. So for that, he deserves a death penalty. But the Mishnah says he's really nerag al shem sofo. In order to prevent them from becoming a murderer later on in life. That's the Mishnah later, that is Nerag al Shem Sof. So one might have had a Havamina that sits in Nerag al Shem Sof, and maybe even a cotton, maybe even before Bar Mitzvah. Also he should, if one is punished for the Avera that he did in the past, he has to be a Baron Shiva. Here it's not an Einish L'Shoavar, this is a deterrent for the future. So one could have thought perhaps, that even a cotton should also be nenash. It's not a noinish l'shavar. So that's what the Mishnah says. No. Cotton potu shalabolach lamitzus. That's the last line of the Mishnah. And then the Gemara explains that's what the Havamina would have been. Now, how do you know taka that it's wrong? Maybe it's right. Maybe the Havamina is right. Since he's nerag al shem sofo, so maybe the din should be taka that a cotton, it's not a noinish l'shavar, so you don't need a baronshin. Gemara says no. It says ki yiliyish. Bein sorera morea, so the Mashmoah says, ki yiliyish, the kid is growing up. The kid is already bar mitzvah, and he's beginning to mature. So the Mashmoah of the Pasuk is, bein asamuch l'gvuras shalish. He's already bar mitzvah, and he's very close to maturity of a teenager. Okay. Then the Mishnah says that there's a very short period of time that the kid can get the onish misa ben sorera morea, maximum 3 months. That's how the Gemara says over here. Here on the third white line, on Samach Tesa Menal Guf Amar Rab Chris Bedoy Amar Rab Shapsoy Kol Yavush Ben Sarma Edim Al Gimel Chadashim Lulvad. Maximum 3 months. It's Guf Amar who was quoted before on the Amud Rab Chris Bedoy. Maximum can only be 3 months. And the Mishnah says sometimes even less than 3 months. The Mishnah says he's only Ben Sarma Morim Mishiyavish Dei Cyrus from Bar Mitzvah. A boy or a girl become bar mitzvah if you have shana v'simonim. The shana by a girl is yud bei shana v'yamecha. By boys yud gimel shana v'yamecha. You have to have shtei cyrus and the eva ha'erva. So before bar mitzvah, the whole din doesn't apply. Even though it's al shem sofo, the gemara that has with Russia doesn't apply. And the latest zman you can have is achiyakiv hazaka. Until he has a cyrus growing around the eva ha'erva. And then they added on to the Mishnah, these are either the later Tanoim added this on, or some say that it's a misprint, it doesn't even belong in the Mishnah. It says, the original Lashon was, Mishiyavish Dei Saris Hashiyakev Azokam. And then the later Tanoim, or the Magia, wrote, you shouldn't think that Zokam means till his beard grows around his face, that's later. Yaakov Azokam is 18 years old. So it says, no, Azokam Atachtam Lo Ha'elyon. This is Zokam Ha'elyon around the cheeks. When the beard grows and when the hair is growing around the Eva Ha'erva, that's called the Zalkan HaTachton. So why did they use such a misleading expression? They didn't want to say explicitly until Cyrus grew next to the Eva Ha'erva. And he said, Ashiyakiv HaZalkan, and we all understood what it meant. So the Gemara says, if it's Hikiv HaZalkan HaTachton within the first 3 months, then it's already no din of Ben Sora Mora. And if he's not Hikib Zaken HaTachm, then he can become a Mitzvah. He's eligible to become a Mitzvah Amara up until 3 months, but that's it. If the 3 months is needed. What's the 3 months? I think Gemara is going to explain that it's only if he's a Bein Soror Amora. If he's a Bein means that he's a child. If he's an Av already, if he's a parent, then he doesn't have the din of Bein Soror Amora anymore. So when is he a parent? We assume, this is a machloikas and mitzias over here, we assume that a cotton is ain't a royal holit. If a cotton lives with a girl, she will not be able to become pregnant. After the ben teshishon, koyde ben teshishon of yoy mecho, it is ain't be osaviyon. And the shikva zera is not metamik. There's no tumas, there's a tumas ziva. Mishnah says that a cotton ben yoy mecho, a baby is born, so the same day he's born, it can be, if it's a boy, he can become a zav. If it's a girl, she could become a zava. Not exactly a zava. She can't become a zava unless it's low as nidasa. So she has a riyas dam the first day that the baby girl is born. She becomes a nida for the first 7 days. And then after the 7 days are up, the next 11 days, she's eligible to become a zava. She has 3 days in all. She'll be a zava gdola. 1 day, 2 days, she'll be a zava tana. So that's the mishnah nida. Tinek ben yomo, tinok is basi mechot, can become a zava, but a tinek ben yom can't become a valkyrie. A valkyrie is only if it's shichva zera. Shichva zera is only mentesh shon of yamecha. But even though mentesh shon of yamecha is shichva zera, but it's not royal hoilid. It's not royal hoilid until after he's bar mitzvah. That's what we assume. The Gemara quotes one opinion that a cotton is royal hoilid. We'll have to see the Gemara. Here, Omer Avchizdeh, that's around 10 lines from the bottom of Samaches on the base. Omer Avchizdeh, cotton shahoilid. If the father of the kid is a ben sorer mora, so it says ki yish ben sorer mora. The word ish usually means ish below kotin. So if the father was bar mitzvah and he gave birth to a child, let's say the kid was 13 years old and he got married on the day of his bar mitzvah, and then he had a child. So 13 years later, the father is now 26 years old plus 9 months. He got married on the day of his bar mitzvah, the father. And then 9 months later, his wife had a baby. And that baby, after 13 years, becomes a ben sorer mora. So then, that's ki'il yish. The father was bar mitzvah, and he made his wife pregnant, and then they had a child. What if the father, before bar mitzvah, was living with a woman, and kiddush and tosim be'akot, was living with a woman, they weren't married. Can't think of kavish and isha before bar mitzvah. The kid was living with a woman, and then they had a child, and that child is now bar mitzvah, but the father was not bar mitzvah when he made the mother pregnant. So Rav Chizda says that that's physically possible. The cotton is where to hold it. But that child who is now bar mitzvah, he's a ben sorer mora, he will not have the din of ben sorer mora. Because Pasuk says, ki yili ish, ben sorer mora. If the father's an ish, the father was a godel, the father was bar mitzvah when he made the mother pregnant with this child, who later on turns out to become a ben sorer mora. So that's the comment that Rav Chizda makes. He darshins from the Pasuk like that. We assume that the whole thing is physically impossible. That the cotton ain't where to hold it. That's what the Gemara quotes later. That's the first 10 lines on Daf Samach Tesem and Aleph, that we don't accept Rav Chizda's biological statement that a cotton is royal oil. Beheta. You can have it Beheta. Okay. I gave the case Beheta, so you give a case Beheta. And a cotton of Boy Vintoy. Okay. So the Mishnah says that's permissible. So that's the shaila in the Gemara here. So again, the Gemara says we darshan the pasuk. We darshan the pasuk a bein sora mora bein veloy av. If the bein sora mora is already a father, it's already a father. I mean that's 9 months later. So if he marries a woman on the day of the bar mitzvah. And then she becomes pregnant on that day. She has a baby 9 months later. So the Gemara says, even if he didn't marry the woman, there was a theoretical possibility of him marrying a woman. And she could have had a baby 9 months later. So after 13 years and 9 months since the Ben Sora Mora was Roy, theoretically, could have become a father already. So there's no Dina Ben Sora Mora. Then the Gemara says, not only after 9 full months, when the baby could theoretically have been born, a Kol HaChadosh, even after 3 months, it would be Hukarubra. So that's also called Bein Velo Haroi Lekros Awav. After 3 months of the Tzuka Huber, it's also called Bein Velo Yav. Then the Gemara goes into a whole discussion. So why do you say that it's 3 months? In the days of the Gemara, the doctors assume there are two types of pregnancies. There's a 9-month pregnancy, and there's a 7-month pregnancy. In the later in Shulchan Aruch, they say we don't know what that corresponds to. And then they would talk about an eighth month pregnancy, a ben ches. We don't know whether it's a post-mature 7 month pregnancy. So that's a fine, very healthy, bouncing baby, post-mature. Or it's a premature 9 month baby. So you got to figure out, based on the simonim of the 8 month pregnancy, does he have long fingernails? Does he have hair? Or does he look like he's incomplete? So it looks like he's missing a lot of things. It means it's a premature 9 month pregnancy. And if everything is gone with it's in front of him, then it's a post-mature 7 month pregnancy is okay. And in Shulchan Aruch, they say we don't know what that corresponds to. We don't have such a thing that the Ben Ches is Bisakon anymore. Ben Ches is, Ches is not so much Bisakon. We don't know what that means, a 7 month pregnancy. But yes, we always have 9 month pregnancy. We don't understand what this means. The Gemara talks about such a thing in many Mesivkas. So Gemara asks the Frek Takasha, why did you darshan the Pasuk that it takes 3 months to be Roy Lekros Awav? Because it could have been hukarubra, but there is an institution of a 7 month pregnancy, so you should have said that shlishi bura, 1/3 of that pregnancy would have been less than 3 months. It would be 2 months and 10 days. So you should say that ben sara more, the maximum he can become ben sara more is 2 months and 10 days. Why do you give him an oinish mis in the next 20 days? Why are you machmar him? We have it in vehitzilu hoedel. You always darshan of sukim lahakel. So you say, bein v'loyav, not only if the ben sarma already has a baby, there's no need of ben sarma, if theoretically he could have had a baby. Not only theoretically he could have had a baby, it's 9 months after his bar mitzvah, 3 months is enough. Why? Because theoretically it could have been hukarubra. He could have married a woman the day of his bar mitzvah, she could have become pregnant. It could have been hukarubra after 3 months. And the Gemara said, no, if you got now, what could have been, what would have been, if it would have been, if it should have been. So she could have been hukarubra after 2 months and 10 days. So the Gemara says, so why don't you say that that's also part? The Gemara says, no, since rove of the pregnancies are 9 month pregnancies, that's only a miut. The Gemara said, we never heard of this 7 month pregnancy. But the Gemara they thought that there are two kinds. The doctor said there are two kinds. But the 7 month pregnancy was rare. Normal was a 9 month pregnancy. So rove lodas are 9 month pregnancies. So when you darshan psukim, when you darshan psukim ben v'loyah ben v'loyah haroy lekros harav, you darshan psukim based on rov. You don't darshan psukim based on the miut. And even on dealing the fashas, you always stand on your head to go lahakel v'hitzilu ha'ida v'hitzilu ha'ida. But this rule in darshan psukim that you darshan psukim based on rov applies even in the case of dealing the fashas, despite the pasuk of v'hitzilu ha'ida. That's the gist of the Gemara on Samach Tes Amiral. We'll have to learn that soon. So here the goyim have a lashon. It's an interesting lashon. They're just like by a girl. We were talking the other day when we learned the sugya of Naira Hamaros on Samach Vav on the base, that there were three zmanim. The Rambam starts off Hilchos Ishtah, the three zmanim. The girl is a ketana up until Yud Beishan of Yomechad with Cyrus. Then she's a Naira for 6 months, maximum 6 months. Then she becomes a Bogeris. And there are differences lalacha between a ketana, Naira, and a Bogeris. So too, by a boy, there are three zmanim. There's a cotton, and then there's a nar, and then there's a bogir. We do have differences between nairus and bagrus by boys. It's only one aloha. By ketana you have kama differences. The skilo and hafaros and dorim and kiddushin and get the kama differences. Selling is an amavriya, maisiyadel, atzmal yavir, many differences. But here by boy, the only one difference is benegetim and soramor. The cotton and gadol are many differences. Chayvim mitzvahs, not chayvim mitzvahs. But this concept that there's a middle stage, he's bar mitzvah, but he's not fully gadol. Full godless is 3 months later. So it's parallel to the girl who has katnus and nairus and bagrus. So by the boy, you also have the three stages. And the nafkamina ladina is this din of ben sora remara. Here the Gemara, we mentioned, the Gemara quotes this member of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda claims that it's physically possible for a cotton to be molded. The cotton shohele that ain't been on Nasa ben Soramar. He darshan the pasuk kiyir liish. If the father was an ish, at the time that the mother became pregnant, but this child who later on grew up to be this juvenile delinquent, this ben Soramar, so then there's a dina ben Soramar. But if the father was a cotton shahilah, then there's nothing. So the Gemara says, we don't accept the whole premise of Rav Chisda. We assume that a cotton eilam oilet is not shayach. The Gemara quotes the pasuk on which we have that comment. For Kliga de Rabba, 4 lines from the bottom, the Omar Rabba, cotton eilam oilet. We have another pasuk in Chumash that indicates that Rav Chisda is not right. We have a pasuk that indicates that a cotton before bar mitzvah is not shaykh that he should be more than shenemar. In Mei Liish Goyel, the pasuk says that if I steal money from somebody else after I have to give him back either the bien, or if I I stole an automobile and I crashed it up, I ruined it, so I have to pay him the $20,000 or whatever that it was worth at the time that I stole it. So it says, what if I swore falsely? He confronts me, he says, hey, you stole my automobile, give me back, and I swear I did never stole your automobile. No din Torah, just like this, I swear on my own, I never stole your automobile. Even Kofat Venishba, the Gemara says in the end of Baba Kama. So then later on, when I admit that I swore falsely, it's not enough that I pay him the $20,000. I have to give him Karen V'Chomish, I have to give 25% more. Chomish means 25%. You have to add it up, and then it's one-fifth of the sum total. Then you have to bring Asham Gizelus. Asham Gizelus because he swore falsely. And then it says in the Chomish, what happens if the man to whom I swore falsely died already? So then what do? So I have to give to the Yoshim, Karen Mechaymish, and then I'm able to bring the Yoshim. You can't bring the Yoshim before you pay the Karen. The Chaymish is not Miyakib in the Yoshim, but the Karen is not. And what happens if the man died, and mainly Yishkoy Lahashim Hashim Elo, the man to whom I swore falsely, I stole the car from him, he died, and he doesn't have any Yoshim, mainly Yishkoy. There's no Yoshim to pay the Karen Mechaymish to, so what do? So the Torah says, you give the Karen Mechaymish to the Kohanim, and then you get a kapare by bringing the Asham Gzela. So the Gemara effect Ashayla, how is that physically possible? A Jew dies and he doesn't have any children. So the Yerusha, a lot of times, unfortunately, wealthy people die, they have no children. So the Yerusha goes to their brothers, the brother's not alive, goes to their sisters, goes to their nephews, their nieces. It's impossible. How is that possible that there's a Jew who doesn't have a relative? He doesn't have an immediate child, a descendant, but he does have relatives. Must be referring to a gezla ger. I stole from a ger. And a ger shen is gar kakot nishanel adami. Chassam Sefer says it in his chidushim on Avodah Zarah. This is probably the marker for the whole thing. Where did the Tanoim get this idea that ger shen is gar kakot nishanel adami? He's not related to anybody. So he says it must be from this pasuk. The pasuk says, mainly yishgoy lahashif hashim elav. There's no one to give it back to. How can it be no one to give it back? It means I stole from a ger. And he died, and he's all alone. He doesn't have a relative in the world. So then the Torah says, Gezla Ger, you give the Ker Mechaymish to the Kohanim, and then you bring the Yoshim. So the Pasuk says, M'ein le'ish goyel. He uses the word Ein. So the Gemara in Kiddushin Darshins, Ein Loshen Ayin Olav. You have to look into it, to research the matter, to see whether he has a Yoresh or he doesn't have a Yoresh. So then the Gemara says, and the word Ish has the connotation of Ish Prat L'Kotin. Ish Prat L'Kotin. So the Gemara puts the two together. If I stole, and it must be going, I guess, la guerre. Otherwise, if he stole from a regular Yisrael, how is it possible he doesn't have a relative? He always has a relative. So it means I stole from a guerre who's after Bar Mitzvah. Then I and all of you have to investigate whether he has any Yorshim. It's possible he has children. But if he stole from a guerre katan, then there's nothing to research. Gershon is got katan shenadam. Is not related to anybody in the past. And it's not shaykh that he has any children. Because the cotton ate a mile. So that's how Rabbah darshan this pasuk. Ein means ayin olive, ish prat le cotton, gotl la the tzorech, that's the top line. The Omar Rahman in the Torah tells me, ish, if he's a bar mitzvah, the tzorech le chazor olive, miyesh le gotl le mat. Ayin olive, you have to check into it. But if he's a ger cotton, he's not related to the previous relatives that he had, and he couldn't possibly have had any children because the cotton ate a mile. That's the drasha. So that's against Rav Chisda. So here's a famous Taisus, this long, long Taisus. I'd like to discuss it next week. Taisus asked a few questions. Question number one, Ger Katan. How can you have such a thing as a Ger Katan? Don't you have to have Das for Gerus? Don't you have to have Das for Gerus? So the Gemara says, Zachan Liyadam Shloy Lefana. The Gemara says in Ksuba is Daf Yidala, but Ger Katan is based on Zachan Liyadam. So Taisus asks, that Tzchi is Mitam Shlichas. The big machlok is a rishonim. The Chachmei Ashkenaz hold the Ramah Paskins and Choshen Mishpat based on the Trumas Hadesh and based on all the Rashi and Taisus that Tzchi is a form of Shlichas. So there's no Shlichas for a cotton. So there's no Tzchiyah for a cotton. Like the Mishnah says, you can do Tzchiyah for a cotton. You want to give a matana to a cotton who's not here, so I give you the matana you kind of for the cotton. So Taisus has a Gemara in a Zeh Nesha that only works with the Rabbanan. That you want to do a schia on behalf of a cotton only works with the Rabban. Can't work with a Torah because Zoch and the other Mishleib of Fonad is similar to, works along the same lines as Shlichas. It's considered as if you're a Shlich of the other party. And the Kotan cannot have anybody act on his behalf as a Shliach. So the whole institution of Zachin the Kotan is Machlokes HaTanoim. Can you do Shchi on behalf of a Kotan? Machlokes HaBlezer Rabbi Yishua, the Mishnah Bava Basra, Tosfos quotes it. So we paskin, yes, there is Shchiyah for a Kotan, but Tosfos has the Girsin in Zel Neshech, that Shchi Med the Rabbanon Miyuisli. It's only Med the Rabbanon, it's not Med the Torah. So I had to have Ger Kotan Madbim Mosad Dazdez, only a Ger Med the Rabbanon. But here they're asking, how's that? So, how's it? You can have a ger mid rabbanon. So, sounds funny. Minatari is a goy gomer mid rabbanon is a ger. So Tez is going to talk about that. But they say, but it doesn't work over here because the gemara is darshining a pasuk. Rabbi is reading the pasuk as saying, a ger gadol gets la ger if the ger was a bar mitzvah at the ayin olav. You have to check in to see if he had any children. But a ger katan who exists minatairo, he darshining a pasuk. A ger katan exists minatairo. There's no ayin olav because it's ain't a roy lahavid. How can you have a ger katam in a Torah? If Shriya mitam shlichus, and ger katam had been the most of that's best, based on Zachin. Zachin for a katam is only with the Rabbanon.
He's going to your
okay, that's a possibility. Okay, that's one possibility. Tesh is going to talk about that. Yeah, they're going to talk about that towards the end. That's one shayla they ask. How is it possible to have, is it possible, you see from this Gemara, that it is possible to have a ger katam in a Torah? So they ask, how is that possible? The Gemara said it's based on Zachin. And Zachin for a Katan, we have a Girus in Azar Neshet that it's only with the Rabban. That's one question. Then they have another question. How did the Katan acquire property? A Katan walks in the street and he picks up a nickel from the street. The Mishnah says in Gittin, that's only Gezel Mefnei Darkishon. It's only with the Rabban. And here you have a Pasuk. Gezel Ager Katan. I stole from the Ger Katan. I stole mid Atar. Not that I stole mid the Rabban. How did the kid acquire mammon? How did the kid acquire mammon? So usually children acquire mammon birusha from the parents. Yeah, but if he's a ger katan, so he's not related to the parents. Gershon is got katan shenodam. So he can't say that he gets birusha. So what, he picked up an aveda? Picked up an aveda is only the rabbah. So Tosfos comes up with this fantastic chiddush, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskens. Whenever there's das acheres makdim, whenever somebody gives the kid a matana, then it's kainim in our Torah. It's 2 days in Tosfos. That's what we pass on yet. So this is a big, famous topic. I believe that next week we'll have to discuss it. Right? The Gemara says he's not Yerush. In our Torah is not Yerush. The Gerush and his Gar is not Yerush of his Dvar Torah. With the Rabbanon, the Meir HaTakana, that he is Yerush, Shema Yachsa L'Suro. We're afraid that he may decide to revert back to Christianity in order to get the Yerusha. Yeah, but when I tell you the din is that he doesn't get it. On this week's Sedrit, there's a famous medrash in the Yalkut HaRuveni. Yalkut HaRuveni is not the Yalkut Shemoni. Yalkut Shemoni is a liquid of Midrashim that we know. Yalkut HaRuveni is problematic. Sometimes he quotes Zoyas, he quotes Medrash Pliyat. And every so often he quotes a medrash that we don't know. This is one of the Midrashim that we don't know of any other source where it comes from. It says that the pasuk in Shir Hashim, "Hadudoyim nos nereach v'apsachenu kol migodim." So the Medrash says, "Hadudoyim nos nereach." That's alluding to the story of the Doy Ruven. "Apsachenu kol migodim" is an allusion to Ner Chanukah, that you have to light up Pesach facing the Bachutz. What's the shaykhus between the Hadudoyim nos nereach and Ner Chanukah and the Bachutz? There's a famous maimer that they quote from Rav Chaim Valojina. Whenever there's a Medrash plea of the Yadua that it's a tosef and don't waste any time. They quote there was once a fellow claimed to be an emissary from the Melech HaMashiach, and they mechabed him all over Europe. And when he came to Vilna, so Rabbi, he came to Volozhin, wherever it was, Rabbi Chaim Volozhin said, the man is a faker, and you shouldn't listen to him. And he said, no, he wants to give pshat with the Medrash Pli. He said, HaKnish Kenshaynik, every Medrash Pli is a Tosef, and he didn't go for any of his shtick, and he wanted to show Nisim and the flaws. So he came, he attended a bris when it was raining, and he showed that he was all dry. Amoifus, he showed that he was dry. So Rav Chaim Volozhin showed that he had a raincoat. People didn't, no one knew that such a thing as an umbrella, a raincoat. So he searched in the cloakroom and he saw he had a raincoat with him. Anyway, so that's in the middle of that story with the faker, with the emissary from the Melech HaMashiach. So he said, forget about the Medrash Pli. The Medrash Pli is a tosef. It is a famous Medrash Pli. So everybody gives different interpretations. So one of the many interpretations that they suggest is that there is something in common between the two instances. The pasuk uses the expression "Vateitze Leo." That when Yankov came home, "Vateitze Leo," she said, "Elai Tavok, Yisachas Chaticha B'Didoy B'ni." it's a very non-sneezdika way of speaking to your husband. You have to come to my bedroom tonight because I pay. I pay. Very strange. And the Chazal have a comment on the later pasuk, Vatetzedina Basleya. Why Vatetzedina Basleya? She went in the mother's footsteps. The mother was Vatetzeleya, so she was also Yasana's house. So the Medrash has a taina against Leah. Yeah, but why did she do it? Why did she do it? Because she wanted to have another baby. She wanted to have another one of the Shvatim. But who was the Shevet who was born Yisachar? Yisachar's Katicha b'didoi b'ni. Who? What came out from Yisachar? So the Pasuk in the Rayom says, B'nei Yisachar yodei b'nei itim. They were members of the Sanhedrin, and they were involved in Kviyas Haluach, in Kiddush HaChodesh, in Ibra Shona. So she did it very much l'shem Shamayim. She had no brera. Under the circumstances, she had no brera. She felt she had no choice. She has to violate the Darki Atzmiyus. Some people always stick to the rules, and there are never any exceptions to the rule. And other people realize that there's always a Yaitzim in a club. Sometimes you have a Shas Hadchak, and you have to make a Hirosh. Sure, you can make a Hirosh every day. So the rules are meaningless. But once in a Yovel, you have to make a Hirosh, you have no prayer. So some say that that's the Tzushtel, that this, if there is such a Medrash, we don't know where this Medrash exists. The only source we're aware of is the Yalkut Shemayin, the Yalkut Horuveni on this Pasuk. So some say that that's what happened by the Chashmonoim. The Ramban HaChumash writes the Chashmonoim were Chatzidei Elyon, the very holy tzaddikim, but they made one big violation of the din that the halacha says that the Kohanim are not permitted to serve as malachim. So what did Taka do it for? So in Chassidish Yisroim they say that there was a Shas Adchak, it was a Hiru Asho, they knew that it was wrong. But they felt under the circumstances it was necessary somehow to fight Chochmas Yavon and the philosophy in those days, it was absolutely necessary. They felt that they had to have Kohanim serving as the Malachim. If they'll had anybody non-Kohen, they wouldn't qualify for the job. In fact, the Rav used to point out from the Rambam, in the beginning of Ilchus Chanukah, when he gives you the whole historical background of Chanukah, so he writes the whole story, and then he says, V'hemidu melech mina Kohanim, that's Eingerecht in the Cheshmet, that's part of the wonderful story. Not like the Ramban, that they made a big mistake. Rambam writes that that was one of the milos of the story, that it was necessary at that time. As a Hirosh Shor, they had to violate this din because they thought that it was absolutely necessary. So perhaps that's what some say, perhaps that's what the Medrash is driving at, that we shouldn't always be sticklers for the rules, that sometimes there are, you can't violate the rules every day, every month you can punish, you can say it's a Hirosh Shor. But in rare instances, when there's going to be a the Migdal Milsa, when you want to accomplish something great, so then the halacha says that Yesh Kayach Laka Dabman Atarafin Bikum V'Yasei, if it's going to be Hirosho, Migdal Milsa. But the Hasidim needs to do it all the time. Chasidim, the early Chasidim, used to make achonis on Shabbos morning, go to mikveh and mavesed with the children and learn Gemara with the children. Then they would actually begin to daven shachris at 10:30, 11 o'clock after Sozman Tfila. After the Zanz, Man Krishma, Man Tfila, make achonis. Then Leil Pesach, they make achonis, they would start to say the after Chatzoy. So they would go way after Chatzoy. Yeah, such people today. Rav Chaim Volozhin writes, he even heard that there are communities that they send someone out there outside to ask, do you see three stars? Okay, then we can daven mincha. He says, what's with this manim over here? What's, he says that everything is lahirasha lemigdamilsa. They're going to accomplish something. Give all the gezach. He says, look, lahirasha lemigdamilsa. That was.